Liberty.
Welcome back to Liberty FM, the podcast dedicated to all things New York Liberty. I'm Felicia, and I'm joined by my co-host and husband, Francois. We are back with season two, following the Liberty and their quest to win their first WNBA title. We know last year was a tough loss in the finals against the Aces, but we knew the team we had was special, and the front office knew it too, because the ladies are here to run it back for a second season. The sky's the limit for the Liberty. Francois, how do you feel?
I feel much better. I guess, you know, time heals a lot of wounds. It was really hard since our last podcast. You probably remember it was just after the loss in game four of the WNBA Finals. And I'm not going to lie, you know, it took quite a few months to recover from that loss. Mm-hmm. But I feel pretty optimistic about this upcoming season. A lot of things have happened in those past 6 months. Women's basketball is on the come up. It has been blowing up everywhere. College basketball, yeah. We saw the frenzy with Caitlin Clark, but also a lot of great teams showing up. South Carolina dominating the season. Millions of viewers that were watching women's basketball. And then quite a few transactions happening in the league, and a lot of people are excited about this season. So I feel great about this upcoming season and optimistic. I think that today is going to be a podcast for us to answer some of the questions that fans might have about the upcoming season and the roster. But I'm pretty excited about where we're heading this season. But before we dive into the roster, there were two moves that the Liberty had to make in the offseason to start on a positive note, which was to re-sign two of the superstars, Jonquel Jones and Breonna Stewart. And I don't know if you remember, Felicia, but when it was Fan Appreciation Night, the last game of the regular season last year, we got to meet the players, season ticket holders. And when it was our turn to meet Jonquel Jones, we asked her about what she was thinking for next season, if she was going to re-sign for the Liberty. And I wasn't super confident after the answer that she gave, right?
Yeah, she kept it vague. I mean, I think for her, she may not have been sure right at that moment. She kept it vague. And I think we were a little nervous.
Like, we were definitely nervous.
And we encouraged her, too, because I remember we're like, we hope you come back. We want you to come back. And I think she got that love from a lot of the fans that came through, because even yesterday, you know, the open practice when they had the Q&A, she said that really helped her to make the decision. She said it was that day during fan appreciation that with all the fans showing so much love to her, that helped her make and seal the decision to come back to the Liberty. So kudos to all the fans out there.
Yeah.
Us showing love to our team, you know, it drives them, it pushes them. So no matter what we do, we got to be loud in the stands. They got to feel our presence, that we're right behind them. So it was just good, even as a fan, to feel like, hey, we're in this with them too. I mean, we're not on the court, clearly, but, you know, they know we got their back, you know, in the stands and supporting them and everything.
Yeah, we'll mention, again, the open practice that we were able to attend yesterday, where there was a lot of great things that we got to see during that practice. And there was a Q&A at the end of that practice where JJ, that was probably like one of the most interesting answers from that Q&A that she shared, that the deciding factor was that fan appreciation night, that all the love she received. And we saw the confidence that she had in the playoff, because all season long, I mean, obviously we shouldn't forget that she came back. She started the season with a foot injury that she had sustained in the previous season. And then she was kind of struggling to find a role in the team, figuring things out. But the playoff, she was dominating. She was probably the best player on the New York Liberty team. She had eight consecutive double-doubles, which is a WNBA playoff record. Mm-hmm. And the impression that she left in those playoffs, you felt like you wanted more, because that Jonquil Jung from the start of the season, that could change completely the team and the dynamic, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think we always said last season that it's going to come down to JJ. We know Stewie was going to do her thing, but JJ in the paint, and if you keep feeding her, she's a monster in the paint. And I think we saw that during the playoffs, that she was unstoppable. You know, obviously, these were two powerhouse teams going at it. And I think, you know, the one thing we saw, you know, for JJ was just her come up as the season went on. And just, you know, at first, yeah, obviously there's the growing pains. You just put a team together, everybody's new, everybody's trying to click and gel, and it takes time. And, you know, we'll see that for new teams that are coming in this season that just got put together, you know, with some other superstars out there. So it takes time to gel, but by the playoffs, they did something really special that you don't see for a lot of teams in any sport. When, you know, you see really great players come together for the first time, it takes time to gel. That usually they don't really get to a championship the first year out. You know, it takes a year or two before they really get it going and clicking. But the Liberty did that in their first year, that they got all the way to the finals to face the Aces. And, you know, it was a tough, they played some tough games, but, you know, they tried to stay in it. And I think this year, running it back, the familiarity with everyone there, having that continuity, bringing everybody back. And I think this will be the year for them. I really do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's unfinished business. I mean, it would leave a sour note that you leave the team and you didn't get it done. You didn't finish the business. And obviously the way the Aces won on our home court and taunting the Liberty and the night-night gestures and, you know, sipping champagne in the locker room, in the practice facility, like it stinks, you know? And so you want to get, you know, that business done and sort of going on this revenge tour. I don't know if it's a revenge tour or not. And on top of that, you know, JJ, unfortunately for her, once again, she lost another final in China. Mm-hmm. She had and a tremendous season. She was the international player MVP of the Chinese league. But unfortunately, a team ended up losing in five games against Anshu and Liz Cambage. So they definitely this feeling of like, I keep, you know, failing at the last step. Yeah. And I want to change things this time around. So we heard from Van der Sloot, from all the media that we saw on social medias about the training camp, that she said that she found JJ to be in top form and ready to go. So expect big things from Jonquil Jung straight from you know, the get-go of the season. The second player that was also important to have around for this season is obviously the current MVP, Brianna Stewart. And I think from early on, even I think in the exit interview, she said right away that she was going to be courted by the Liberty, meaning that, you know, she has sort of like the priority with the team and negotiate like a max contract. But it seems like she decided to lower a little bit of salary for 205K, which is, you know, still good. And she's probably going to recoup money with, you know, sponsors and everything. But she allowed enough cap space for the Liberty if in need of a veteran player or maybe a 12th player on the roster to have that money. So, you know, she really made a good deal with the Liberty to help them being competitive. But there was no doubt that she was going to come back to the team. But my question to you, Felicia, is probably maybe the role for Brianna Stewart next season, because obviously she carried us. She was amazing. She was MVP. But it definitely felt like during the playoff last season, she was really burnt out. And, she, you know, we're going to have to figure things out, things differently this year and not having to rely so much on Breanna Stewart bailing us out every single time, right?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, last year it was new for everyone, you know, adjusting, new coach, new system. Everything was brand new. So that's hard coming into a season where nothing's familiar. Everything you're learning from scratch, you're learning how to gel, you're learning, you know, the roles and, you know, who should do what. And it, you know, the good thing for the Liberty that it appeared like they gel quickly, even though it seemed like they were saying it took time to figure things out. But, you know, I think for her, the pressure was there. I mean, she was MVP. She did a phenomenal job last year. And, you know, I just think that also comes down to Sandy Brondello and not riding Breanna so hard. You know, I think, yeah, giving her some more rest and not having her out there for so long, I think that will be helpful. And she also, Breanna got to have rest this off season, mm-hmm. you know, and really take that time. You know, obviously, you know, they had a second child. So, you know, they were able to just stay here in New York and be with family and travel and do things and just relax, you know, and that really helps the body too. So I just think this season, she's going to come out even more hungry. I feel like you're not going to see a tired Breanna Stewart like we saw at the end of last year. I just think last year, a lot of the players were gassed at the end just simply because they played so many minutes throughout the entire season that by the playoffs, it was really hard. I mean, they gave it their all. I'm not making any excuses. They truly gave it their all. But again, when you play so many minutes, I think even for Sandy, she realized like, yeah, it was probably a bit too much and we need to insert, you know, players from the bench to kind of help balance the team out better.
Yeah, she said, you know, during training camp that you need depth in this league and you need versatility. It's a long, compact season and the Liberty are starting with 5 games in 10 days. So even though the starters will probably want to play a lot of minutes, she said that she's got to be smarter this year not to kill them too early. So that's definitely going to be a key for Brondello to try to trust a bench more and, you know, figure out some rotations with the starters and maybe with a second or third unit so that by the time the playoff arrives, they're not burned out. Because we do have a great starting lineup, and I think it's a great thing that, with the exception of JJ, all of them stay in the U.S. I think Benaja might have gone to Japan to stay with her husband, but she didn't play overseas. So they allowed their body to rest, recuperate, work on things that they needed to work on. But for me, I think they're ready to go. I think people worry about the team, but they don't realize that 1 year playing together. And now, like, they all mentioned during the training camp that, like, things came back right away. Like, they knew how to play with each other, certain habits. They didn't have to start everything from scratch. So, you know, people might be scared of teams like the Seattle Storm, who have Skylar Diggins-Smith, Drew Lloyd, and Nneka Ogumike. Atlanta got better with Jordan Canada, Tina Charles. You got Phoenix Mercury with Natasha Cloud, Becca Allen, Kalia Copper, with Taurasi and Griner. But those teams are going to be in the position of the Liberty last year. They're going to have to figure things out. It's going to take that time for them to gel, no matter how great they are. So we're a little ahead of that pack without being too presumptuous. So for me, I still feel like Vegas, Liberty, and Connecticut Sun are the top three teams of this league. We could sort of look at projection later in the podcast, but I still think that because they kept their core group, they're a little ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, I do agree. I think, you know, until the season starts with the other new teams that are coming up, you know, you won't really know until the season really gets underway, you know, how everything works. And so, but you do know with the Aces, Connecticut, the Liberty, and others that have kept their teams, like, they're going to come out pretty strong because, yeah, they know each other. They know the plan. They they're not starting from scratch and trying to figure anything out. Like, they know each other. They know how to play with each other, you know? And yeah, still, as much as we are huge Liberty fans and we want the Liberty to take it home this season, the Aces are still the team to beat. They're the former champions. So they're still the ones to beat this year. And so, you know, right now we just have to wait and see as the season gets going what the, you know, new teams, including, you know, obviously from the college teams and all this new draft class, you don't know what you're going to get with all the new, the rookies that are coming in from Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, Camilla Cardozo, and more. Like, you know, it's going to be an interesting season, but I think an exciting one for the WNBA.
Yeah, so let's look now at the rest of the roster for the New York Liberty. And Jonathan Coves, the general manager of the New York Liberty, had quite a bit of work, to do in this offseason, because it was very interesting because at the beginning of last season, a lot of people were probably praising the rosters of the Liberty being very deep. But, when you look back at the season, the bench was a weakness, and it wasn't very, I don't know. There was a lot of centers, but it wasn't really well balanced. And when you look at the roles of the players, obviously Marian Johannes was a big contribution from the bench, but at some point she wasn't playing as much as she should have been. You look at Dawson, she was injured a good chunk of the season with an ankle injury. And when she came back, she kind of struggled to find that level of again. We had Niara Saboli, obviously a rookie at that time, so you don't necessarily want to expect much from a rookie, especially coming off a knee injury. So she was utilized here and there, but not to the extent that you wanted. So looking back, it was mostly Marin Johannes and Kayla Foran that really delivered defensively and even more offensively. She was able to bring some offense and some three-point shooting that we didn't necessarily expect, from her. And that's not a lot. You have An Chu that, was barely utilized. And at some point, she probably realized, like, I'm wasting my time here. I'm better off in China playing for my national team. Jocelyn Willoughby probably didn't live up to the expectations. She also had a share of injuries in her career. But she didn't get the time to develop her offensive game. She was there defensively, but, Sandy Brandello didn't necessarily utilize her in a way that would have, really benefited the team. So in the end, the bench was a weakness. You saw that the Aces, who lost two of the starters in the last game of that final, got the job done while the Liberty were completely exhausted with their starting lineup. So Jonathan Cobb said in the exit interview that he thinks that we could look at our bench, and I think we could continue to augment there and improve if we could get longer. This year, we were very big, heavy on the bench. We might shift that. You can add another wing. You can make that a ball handler, what have you, but we have to improve our defensive presence off the bench. And that'll give us more options in different series. He also said it's all about versatility, that he thinks that you can see that they got a lot of players that can slide up and down, and that's what you want to do. I think that the vision for the bench, we got bigger and longer, and that's what they wanted to insulate this group with. So, versatility and size were the key words. And so let's look at the roster. They recruited Kennedy Burke, who was a star player in France in Villeneuve d'Ascq. She has a couple of years of experience in the WNBA, but she had to go to Europe to really succeed and make a name for herself, to give herself another chance in the WNBA. And so she kind of plays sort of like this guard slash small forward, power forward kind of role. So multiple positions, but she will definitely bring good things from the bench. She could shoot threes. She's a very good defender. She could dribble the ball. She's a good passer. She could block shots. So I think obviously not a lot of people might be familiar with the game if they don't follow the EuroLeague or the French League. But that's definitely a great player to have. She had to leave her team early in the playoff, in the French playoff, to be able to make the season with the prioritization rule because of her years of experience. So that's a guaranteed contract that the Liberty offer her. So I think that's going to be a good player coming from the bench. We also have Leonie Fibisch, a German player who plays for Zaragoza in Spain. So she was drafted initially by the LA Sparks in 2020, and then through a trade, the Liberty acquired rights. And in that time, she became a star in Europe. She's one of the core players of the German national team who made it to the Olympics. A 6'4 guard. That can shoot threes, tenacious defender, can attack the paint, and really, really made a name for herself in Europe. She became the Spanish League MVP as well. So that's another good player to have around. So that's already set, two players that I think would be guaranteed to be in the roster. Another player that the Liberty acquired is Ivana Doškić, the Croatian player that plays in Bologna in Italy. And last season, she played for the Seattle Storm as a backup point guard. She started the season very strongly, but then started losing playing time and decided to go back to Europe to start a season early with Bologna, knowing that she wasn't necessarily going to have the same amount of time. But very good guard, can attack the basket, good passer, gets a lot of steals, can shoot threes. So I'll be very surprised if she doesn't make the roster. She just finished a season in Italy, losing in the quarterfinals, so she should be coming to New York very soon. So I kind of mentioned the players that are probably locked in. So if you count Felicia, the starting lineup of five players, plus Kata Foran, that's six. Niara Saboli, that's seventh. Leonie Fibisch, that's eighth. Ivana Doškić, that's eighth. Ninth.
Yeah.
So that leaves pretty much two other roster spots. And so let's look now at the draft. The number one, the first round pick that the Liberty went after was Maquisha Davis from Ole Miss. And I'm not gonna lie, Felicia, I wasn't so much familiar with her game, and I know that a lot of fans were chanting Nika Mule's name during the draft in Brooklyn. And I mean, we follow UConn quite a bit, so we're definitely big fans of Nika Mule, and we do believe that she would have had a good role in that team. But she ended up in Seattle, and I think it's a good fit for her. And maybe I guess that the Liberty will try to look for more size and versatility. And, we're not going to lie, we looked at, highlights of Maquisha Davis. And we got to see a lot of highlights during the training camp and the open practice yesterday. What do you make of Maquisha Davis and what she can bring to the team?
I think, honestly, out of all the rookies that we saw yesterday, she was the top one for me. Just seeing her moves and even watching highlights from her college days, I just think that she's the player that they need who can play defense. She has a quick step too. I mean, she's fast. And also she has that mid-range shot. I know last year in the podcast, I kept saying, I need Sabrina. I need her to work on that mid-range. She can't just be at the three-point line. Like, she has to drive. Marquisha is that. Like, she can drive. She's quick. I mean, she has that mid-range shot. You know, I think she also has I think she can shoot the three as well. Mm. That may not be her bread and butter shot, but she definitely is a driver. And so I think, it's a rookie. We'll see how many minutes, she gets out on the court. But hopefully she gets a lot, because I think she'll be a great addition to this team, along with the others that are coming in from overseas. And I think, looking at the roster, there's not many spots. I think they only have one spot, really, for a rookie. And the likelihood is that it'll be her. So,
yeah, probably fell in my counting of the players, that are probably locked in. But yeah, if you count Maquisha Davis, that's 11 players already. And Jonathan Cobb said to the media that they were going to start the season with 11 players on the roster and leave a 12 spot open in case of maybe injuries with hardship contracts, or getting a 12th player, mid-July or potentially after the Olympics. That obviously brings the question of whether Marie and Johannes will join the team or not. You could argue that she falls into the prioritization rule, but because she hasn't signed with the Liberty, she writes our reserve. That means that she could potentially join the team after the Olympics. But that's a lot of if. Obviously, we don't know what will happen during the season, but the Liberty wants to keep their, options open.
Yeah.
With a 12 spot. But unfortunately, that means that there's probably going to leave only one player that is going to be picked among the draftees and the people they've asked to come for training camp. If I could, share a little bit about my impression of Maquisha Davis, quiet soul. She seems a little
shy.
Yeah,
she's pretty quiet.
And you kind of worry because obviously she's from the South, coming into a big city like New York. That could be very overwhelming. But there's a lot of things to be positive about. First of all, the love that the fans show on draft night when she was interviewed after being drafted. That crowd was really cheering for her, and that I'm sure that must have given her a lot of energy and a lot of confidence for the upcoming season. But don't get fooled, when she's on the court, she's a force. The way she drives to the basket, the way she runs in transition, that she has a good ball handle as well. She's going to be a force to reckon with. And I think that if she plays that role, being quick in transitions, attacking the basket, have that mid-range shot, she could really be useful for the Liberty as, the second unit, or coming for a couple of minutes, helping the team when they needed to. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised. And when I was listening to different podcasts that were talking about her and people that seem more familiar with her game in college, they felt like her being picked by the Liberty made total sense. And they felt that it was a great fit. And obviously the comparisons that everybody made, and she also said that it's a player that she's looking up to, Kalia Copper.
Yeah.
I can see that though. I mean, we don't know if she'll get to her level, because obviously Kalia Copper, is a star in this league. But if she could get, just a tiny bit of, resemblance of that level, of that spark that Kalia Copper brings, that would really help. Because yeah, that's what you keep saying about the Liberty. They kind of miss that kind of player that can sort of drive and attack the basket. So
yeah, and I think she's definitely, to me, going to be a great addition. I just think she's going to need those minutes, and she's going to need that confidence. I think she has it, but again, you're starting out in the WNBA. It can be a little nerve-wracking as a rookie, and just taking it all in that you're here. And so hopefully she gets the minutes. I do hope that the bench gets more minutes this season, so that they can all gel, not just your starting five, but that you're going to need your bench, and you're going to need somebody like her when, whether it's Sabrina or Sloot, getting rest, that she can come in and play that role. She's a great defender. Offense is there. Like, she is that player. So I do think that she can make a huge difference, coming from the bench and just helping the team out. I really think that they got a great player in Maquisha Davis.
All right, so that's 11 players that we think are going to make the roster. So obviously, Courtney Vandersloot, Sabrina Ionescu, Bena Jelani, Jonquel Jones, and Brianna Stewart. And then on the bench, Kayla Foran, Niara Sabali, Leonie Fibish, Ivana Doškić, Kennedy Burke, and Maquisha Davis. And that makes us very sad because we saw a lot of good things from other players, especially in the open practice. I felt like every single one of them deserved to have a spot in the roster or to have a spot in this league.
But, I just really hope that, you know, for future that they need to expand. They really need to expand these rosters because the players you see on the court, it just doesn't seem fair that they can only pick one. Because yesterday, I mean, everyone was so good. And I think for me, I had my top three or four out there that I felt like deserved a spot for sure. And it's crazy to me that you can only pick one. And so I think, you know, for the league, hopefully going forward, I'm hoping this can happen really soon, that they can expand the rosters. You got 40 games now. You need more people on the court. It just makes no sense to me that, especially if a player gets injured. And you got the Olympics
in the middle of the season.
There's a lot that's going to happen, you know, this season. So I just feel like it would have been helpful to expand your roster. Like, to me, 12 is just, I just don't think it's enough. I think you should at least expand to 14 or 15. And that way you have more players. You know, you could even have just a deeper bench that helps the team overall. And, you know, that's just my two cents. But
I mean, the new CBA, I'm pretty sure that the league, the players are going to opt out of the CBA and probably try to renegotiate in November. And, you know, with viewership on the come up, you know, the league getting better and more exciting, they're going to, you know, have a tough the media are going to have to step up, and the league is going to have to step up to, you know, offer a better deal to those incredible athletes so that it could generate more money and that you can extend the rosters, that you could allow teams to offer charter flights to their players if they desire to, and not make it like, you know, a crime if you want your players to, you know, recuperate and perform to the best of their ability.
But that's also on the owners too. Yeah. Because, you know, when you think about this, like for the Liberty, what was it, 2 years ago?
2 years ago, they got fined $500,000.
$1 million because, oh my gosh, Joe Tsai wanted his team to get to a game on time and not show up to a game like an hour before, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to me that they got fined, but it's up to the owners. And unfortunately, there are owners out there that don't want to pay for charter flights, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, that was the craziest part. Like, he had literally Josai offered to pay for the charter flights for the whole league for like 2 or 3 years. He had come up with a plan to kind of offer that for everybody. And unfortunately, some owners refused and the plan didn't go through. Which is crazy. Like, you would want, you know, the best for your players in order for that league to continue to shine. You know, we see, whether it's the WNBA or the NBA, when teams play back-to-back, like, you know, they rest players, they don't perform as well. But at least the NBA players have charter flights. They have private jets. Like, they could go anywhere, like, in the most comfortable way. Right. Those players, they have to, like, travel, you know, under regular, normal conditions, just like, you know, just like us.
We could run into them on a flight.
Except that they're professional athletes and then they have like a big game the next day. So that's not fair if you want the product to be great. If, you know,
I mean, I get that, you know, obviously the WNBA, the money is coming. You know, it's not at the same level as the NBA right now. I do think they're going to get there, and they're going to get there quickly. But, you know, also I would have to say, you know, maybe the Caitlin Clark effect might change some things, because even for her, she has to hire security just to, you know, she's rolling with it. People will say what they will about Caitlin Clark, but she's a baller. She was the number one draft pick, and for good reason. She's an amazing player. Like, even watching her preseason game, she's going to be big in this league. But, you know, even for her, having to hire security, I think these are things that, you know, or even last year with Brittany Griner, she had to get security. Like, it just doesn't make sense that you don't charter flights for the players. They're professional athletes. this is a big league. It's accelerating at a speed that I don't think the media and some of these owners and businesses thought or anticipated. And it's like, players, everyone's been trying to tell you it's coming. Like, it's been happening. It's happening. Like, you need to get on board. So hopefully they start making some quick changes.
I mean, one example was, a couple of days ago with the preseason. So the Dallas Wings and the Indiana Fever had their preseason game on the WNBA League Pass for free for everybody. Meanwhile, the Chicago Sky were facing the Minnesota Lynx, and this game was nowhere to be found on any platform, whether it's the WNBA League Pass or local TV, and people had to rely on someone filming the game on their phone and live streaming it to be able to figure out what was happening and be able to see Angel Reese and Cardoso first game with the Sky. That is unacceptable. And Cheryl Reeves, the Minnesota Lynx coach, said that the growth is happening so fast, it's so accelerated that business as usual isn't going to work anymore. So yeah, the league is going to have to catch up with the demands and, more fans watching. Yes, everybody is watching women's basketball, and there's no denying it, but they're going to have to catch up. So one good news is that the game against the Sky, so the New York Liberty next week, are going to play on May 7th, a preseason game against the Chicago Sky. Initially, it didn't seem like they were going to broadcast that game on the League Pass, but now with the push of fans, they will play that game on the League Pass. So you see, when people are pushing, the league has to react and make some changes. And hopefully in the near future, they will anticipate more than reacting.
But it's also the broadcasting networks. I know the league put out that, the broadcasting network for that game against Minnesota and Chicago, they decided to show the MLB game that was happening. So there was nothing for the WNBA to stream. And so I think also the broadcasting networks have to get on board as well and help everyone out, because if you're not going to broadcast the game on any channel, how's the league going to do anything? So I think, yes, it's part the league and also a huge part for the broadcasting networks that are out there. Like, they also need to get on board and realize and try to find there's plenty of channels out there. They could have put it on. And I think that, again, it's accelerating and they got to catch up.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Before we finish this podcast with some predictions and answer some questions that we got about this upcoming season, just to make sure that we talk about some of the players we saw at the open practice. I think we both agree that there were also two other players that really stood out in the open practice. It was Esmeri Martinez and Jalen Sherrod, who played for Colorado. Esmeri Martinez, who played for Arizona, and also that plays for the Dominican national team. Those were the two players that really stood out as well. What did you make of them?
Yeah, I loved watching Esmeri. I think every time we saw her on the court, she was just doing everything right. I think every time, obviously you had two things. You had multiple things going on the court. So you had, sometimes you had on one side, it was the starters. Other side, you may have had rookies, and other times it was blended. So anytime she was on the court, she was definitely contributing in big ways. And so I liked what I saw from her. I love her passing. I think she would be an excellent facilitator.
Yeah.
And for Jalen, she is quick. She was faster than anyone on the court, I have to say. And she definitely had the ball handling to go with it. She is fast. And so, I would want them on the team as well.
Yeah.
Because I think you need that. You need the speed sometimes. And I think they both have that. And yeah, it's tough because, just being able to just have like one spot. When those were my top three, for the day, those are definitely my top three players. All the other players were great too. Don't get me wrong; they did well. But for me, those were the three that stood out for me.
Yeah, I like Esmeralda Martinez's energy, like the way she's like not afraid to attack the basket, cut, you know, to provide, you know, an option on offense, you know, strong defender in the paint. And she's Dominican, you know, she would fit right in New York, like have so much support from the community. So she would be a great fit for for the team. But yeah, unfortunately, there's not enough spots, but I definitely see her being, you know, picked by the Liberty maybe for the start of the season. If, like, for example, Leonie Fibish comes late from the Spanish League, or if there's someone injured, I wouldn't be surprised if they pick her. And then Jalen Sherrod, I mean, she carried the program in Colorado. She was one of the star players out there. And, you know, took that program to new heights. And, you know, they were a team that everybody was afraid to face in college basketball. You know, strong defender, like she would stay on you, like from start to finish, a little bit like Benaja Laney. Has a lot of energy, attacks the basket as well. I was very surprised that she was undrafted on draft night. I'm wondering if, you know, a height could be a factor that, you know, maybe teams, you know, are afraid of. I don't know. But, you know, Deja Fair, who played for Syracuse, who got picked by, you know, the Las Vegas Aces and was one of the top scorers of college basketball, you know, you could consider her as a small guard. But I'm sure she's going to do tremendous thing because she can ball. And if you know how to ball, you know, you could overcome heights, you know.
Yeah.
Isn't it Becky Hammond that believes that, you know, if you're a small player, you cannot, you know, be the player carrying a team or NBA team, when she was referring to Jalen Brunson. And we see how he's balling, carrying the New York Knicks right now. So, you know, obviously, that's always a worry, but... when you ball, you ball. And I think Jalen Sherrod, you know, if she doesn't make the roster, I have no doubt that she will make a team very soon, because she's a quick learner. I enjoyed that moment when Benaja Laney was talking to her, giving her advice. And we saw right after that, you know, she took it on board and was not afraid to attack the basket. So I saw a lot of good things, and really looking forward to what, you know, the future could bring for her. And I wouldn't be surprised if she's picked at some point. So I think we you know, sort of had a quick overview of the roster. So to finish, let's maybe make some predictions. You know, I had a couple of questions asked on Instagram about, you know, what we make of the roster. I think we did that. What are our predictions? And I don't know, I sense that a lot of Liberty fans seem a little bit worried. So can we try to bring some optimism and positivity? I mean, obviously, we cannot predict the future. We don't know what the season is going to be like. Otherwise, we would make millions in sports betting. And that's not the case. So... let's just try to base it on, you know, logic, or, you know, what we see and what we think, you know, is the season is going to be like for the Liberty.
I think bringing the team back as it is was a huge step, because anytime you have to insert new people, it takes time for them to get used to the system. It takes time for them to gel with other players. You don't have that this season. So that's a big step already for the Liberty. You don't have that. And, you know, obviously any new players, like rookies or people coming from overseas, that's a little different, but they're going to come from the bench. So they'll watch, they'll learn. And when you see those games, you always see Sandy coaching on the sideline as the game is going on. So I'm not too worried about that at all. I think for me, my biggest thing was you got to utilize your bench more. You got to give your players rest so they can come back better and not tire them out by the end of the season, you know? So I think you know, the fact that all the players got that rest. You know, yeah, JJ was playing in China. But again, even when we saw JJ, she looked sharp.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday she looked fit. I mean, we saw KT, Benaj, everyone looked super fit, like they are ready to go. So I'm truly optimistic. I think, again, the top teams to beat are going to be the Aces and the Liberty. You know, I think other teams, they're going to have their growing pains. And then we'll see. You know, you won't really know the other teams till about midway through the season where they're going to be. So, you know, for now, I think they're still the teams to beat. Brianna looked fantastic as usual.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's anything to worry about. I just think that they needed to get better on defense and they added some good defenders. And we have to see what they do when the season starts. But, you know, everyone looks super fit and ready to go. So I think that already is a plus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're going to learn from their mistakes, right? I mean, I cannot imagine Sandy Brandello thinking like, oh, let's do business as usual and expect better results. You know, they're going to learn from that. She admitted that she could have done a couple of things differently. So, you know, she won a title before, so she knows what it takes to win a title. So I have no doubt that they'll make the necessary adjustments. They have 1 year under the belt. Together as, you know, the starting five. So they're going to get going from, you know, very strongly. So, yeah.
And also, Niara Sabali.
Yeah. We forgot she to talk up, about Niara Sabali.
I mean, seeing Niara, one, she slimmed down because obviously she played overseas as well. She looked ready. Mm-hmm. Like, when we saw her, we were like, oh, Niara slimmed down. You know, last year she didn't play as much. She was coming off of an injury. She barely played. And so this season, she definitely playing overseas, I think, was probably a huge, huge thing for her. I think she'll be a great contributor for the Liberty. I really do. So I think just getting that time under her belt, she'll be able to contribute better for the Liberty this year.
Yeah. So Liberty fans, do not get worried. You know, everything's going to be fine. And that's the beauty of sports, you know, like, the uncertainty, the excitement for the new season. But to be fair, like, we have a tremendous squad, and I have no doubt that they will do their absolute best and bring excitement. Just think about last year, how exciting it was to go at the Barclays Center. Like, we experienced something we never experienced before, like going to a sports event. Like, the crowd was incredible, electric. That playoff run and the final, like, you know, there was so much atmosphere that even when, you know, months later we went to a couple of Brooklyn Nets game, it just wasn't the same.
It's not the same.
It's
and it's
not
crazy
the same.
Because for the Brooklyn Nets to have, you know, a full or almost
sold out arena pretty much every game.
Yeah, even if you had a sold out arena. Even for the Liberty, when they didn't have, you know, the 200 section open and it was just, you know, the 100 section on the floor, like, it was louder than any Nets game we went to last year.
Yeah.
It was crazy to witness that. And, you know, Liberty fans, this is what they were talking about. You know, when you heard what JJ and Stewie, how they feel it.
Yeah.
They feel it and how loud it gets. They were saying how loud it gets in the arena with the fans. So they know it. They feel it. And I'm telling you, we do. I think the fans make a difference. I really do. Because you see the difference when we were going to Nets games, like, you saw the difference. Like, man, like, the energy is just
not there. For
and,
the game,
yeah. And so you just saw that difference. And so, you know, we know that we contribute. It, even if it's in a small way, it helps them. It energizes them as well. And so I think that's going to play a huge part, too.
All right. So next week, the New York Liberty will have two preseason games. On Tuesday, May 7th, they're going to play in Chicago against the Chicago Sky at 8 p.m. And then on Thursday, May 9th at 7 p.m., they will play against the Connecticut Sun in Connecticut. So it will be good, to see what the team is like. I'm sure that Sandy Brondello is going to rotate quite a bit to kind of figure out rotations that work and make a final decision about the roster. So we will discuss more, those games for the next episode. But as we always say, Felicia,
let's go Liberty!